We will continue our thoughts this morning somewhat along the same lines as Brother Tyus has presented to us. I'd like to thank him for his message, certainly an inspiring message to cause us to draw closer unto the Lord, and we certainly hope that the things that we'll continue to talk about here this morning will be things that will draw us closer to the Lord and stir up your pure minds as Peter, I believe, said, that by way of remembrance, that you might stir up your pure minds. Today I want to talk to you about being special and how that you are a special person and how that especially there are special blessings brought to us and that are given to us by God. And certainly what we see lining the rows here in the pews and in the back and all over the place, we see a lot of special people. And those special people are young people that I'm talking about this morning. And I want to talk about us as parents in rearing our children and teaching them how to live their lives godly and perhaps one day become a child of God. So if you're a young person today, I want you to listen up. Brother Tyus has already presented to us a lot of good admonition about being young and what it is to secure your heart and what it is to have a good heart and to be like Daniel and to want to do the things that God wanted him to do and to be pleasing to God. Those are so important. And I hope that you can have those things in your life that you want to have so that you'll become a better person. All of us have problems in our lives. All of us have issues. All of us stumble and fall, but we need to get up. We get up and rise up. Don't be beat down. Don't be discouraged. Don't be staying in that low, as it were, for too long. You know, we have to sometimes get in the low, but let's start getting back up. Let's start climbing that ladder. You know, we're considered sometimes to be an oddball, and you might think about that if you've ever been called an oddball or said that you were weird or strange or something. If you're a Christian, then you can probably answer yes to that question. to the world, there is something strange about being a Christian. They can't comprehend why a person doesn't want to take pleasure in all the things that they do and all the things that they consider to be the good life and going to parties and all the things that we could talk about. You know, in Peter, 1 Peter 4 and 4, he really brings close to home what it is that the world thinks about today. And it says right there, wherein they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same excess of riot, as the King James says, in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So you don't run with them. You don't go with them to places that perhaps would be the thing to do. You know, that's on the upbeat. In Titus 2 and 14, the Apostle Paul said that Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people, a strange people, a special people. That word peculiar carries with it the meaning of special. Christians are a special people because we reject or should reject the ways of sin and death and cling to righteousness. And this makes us odd. This makes us different. In our workplace, and the things that people want to tell jokes that are perhaps off the wall and evil jokes and things that are supposed to be funny. A lot of times they're not. They're just gross and they're just things that happen that are not right. And there's activities that go on sometimes in the workplace. There's activities that go on in the world. There's activities that go on everywhere and throughout the country, and especially in those things in the world, in bars and places like that, that we as Christian people don't want to be a part of, and that we need to rise up above and to make changes and be different, be peculiar. And so this morning, as we consider about young people growing up, learning how to be peculiar, learning how not to conform to the world, as the scripture says, And so we want to talk about that as us as fathers, that we need to lead our families in such a way. And that we, as mothers, need to be that helpmeet that keeps the home in the condition that it should be in, that these little children that we're blessed with one day might be converted by our actions and by our teachings and by our leadership as fathers and mothers, that they might continue to create the body of Christ, and that the church might continue. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 17 will be our next scripture, and the Lord has told us what we must do to make ourselves acceptable to Him, to come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Clearly, we need to be distinctively different than the world. The world is full of liars and thieves, murderers, drunkards, sexual immoral people, people who practice all manner of evil, people who live their lives strictly for the party time. You know, let's party. Let's party. And that's what life is about with a lot of people. We can't be partakers of these things and still be considered a child of God. We just can't do it. We can't be that way. And I realize that there's so many things that tempt people. There's so many things that tempt young people today. And there's so many things and so many avenues for them to take. But the admonishment this morning is us as fathers, that we would bring them up in the nurture, the scripture says. The training, that word means training and admonition of the Lord. That we teach our sons and our daughters in the way that they should go. Giving them all the advice that's possible. And you know, we can't. We're not sure what might happen, but we want to give them the best advice possible and show them and make them understand. You know, correcting a child sometimes and being corrected and having discipline in your family is something that's very critical. You know, when I grew up, my father would tell you something once or maybe twice, but after that, you were going to get a busting. And that's the way it was. And so, you know, you kind of go through the school of hard knocks, but you pay attention. And you want to teach your children that because you love them. You want them to grow up in the best way they can. And they're a blessing to us. And we're responsible to rear them the way we should. They are a responsibility to us. And then we need to show them that respect by teaching them the right way to go. Today, one of the biggest pressures we feel from society is to conform to a model of behavior. And this is deemed acceptable and appropriate, the appropriate behavior. And this message is especially strong in our children. Most parents today have to face daily requests for the children to buy them something that everyone else has, or to allow them to do something that everyone else does. And, you know, just think about that for a minute. You know, I want to be like them. I want to be like my peers. I want to have the things that they have, do the things that they do, wear the shoes that they wear. I don't care if they cost $300 for a pair of tennis shoes. I want those tennis shoes. And I want those kind of jeans and pants and shirts and belly shirts and necklaces and chains. I want to be like my peers. I want to be like my teammates. I want to be like my friends. Is that what we're supposed to be? Is that what we're supposed to allow our children to do? You know, kids are expected to wear the right tennis shoes, the right blue jeans, the right shirts, watch the right TV programs, to go to the right movies, listen to the right music, have the right video games. And the list just goes on and on. If a kid doesn't have these things, then he's ridiculed. He'll be ridiculed to some degree by his peers at school. Or he may be out from some group that he desperately wants to be a part of, or some gang or whatever. And that's what we have today, is lots and lots of different gangs and things like that. But you just aren't going to belong because you're, you know, a little bit weird or you're different. But I would submit to you that that's what we need to be, is different and weird, if that's what it takes. And that's what we need to teach our children. That we don't conform to the world and its passions and desires, and the world and its modes that it goes through, because every few years it gets into something different. You know, if you recall, for so many years it was the miniskirt, and of course that was very attractive to the men. The men liked that greatly. And now today it's the very, very tight pants that are very low with the belly shirts, and they're back and stomach and all that is exposed. And the boys, you know, they wear their pants where they're about to fall off and various things, or they wear pants that are very super tight and do lots of things. And there's so many of these different fads that are out there that we all got to belong to, and little Johnny has to be part of it, and he has to look just like them, he has to act just like them. And if he doesn't, he throws a fits and tampers and cries and jumps up and down on the floor. And then what happens? The majority of the society today, that parents are far too indulgent with their children. Far too indulgent. I would submit to you that, you know, we put our, sometimes the world and sometimes even Christian families go out on the limb to be sure that the daughters and the boys and everything have everything they're supposed to have. Even if it, we can't afford it. Even if there's no money there to do this, we break our budget because we want to be sure that our little kids are having all the stuff and they look just like all the other kids do. And there's nothing wrong in the principle with giving to your children and letting them have nice things. But I think there's something much more important going on here than most parents realize. Because we're sending a message. We're showing to little Johnny that he's learning, and he sees in his parents that it's right to sacrifice and buy him those expensive things, tennis shoes. And he's learning from his parents that they love him. But he's also learning that it's definitely important for him to fit in. And that's what these children are learning. And we're showing them that it's very important that they fit in, that they look like the rest of society. And that it's right for us to devote a great deal of time and money and effort for them to be just like their peers. I ask you if that is that important. And you know, it's something that growing up young girls and young boys in this day and age, it's tough. And then you think, well, old fogey dad and mom or old grandpa, you know, he don't know what it was like. And he ain't like that back when I grew up. It's not much different. It's not much different at all. The same desires are still there. The same fads were there, just different fads, different kind of things. So it's very important that, brothers and sisters, that we rear up our children, showing them that it is not wrong to be different. And it is not wrong to not have all the things that everyone else has, and that you don't look just like the girl next door or the boy next door, because you want to be a child of God and you're a little bit different. That child of God, or that child next door, he doesn't know God. Perhaps you could show him what it is to know the Lord and know what it is to dress in a decent way and to look nice that way and not be drawing attention to yourself. And then when the little child gets a little bit older and they start to smoke and drink and take drugs and start partying, it's all what his friends are doing. It's all what the kids next door are doing. And we have sent them this message, haven't we, that it's okay to do because you need to fit in. We've bought you everything you're supposed to have. And now you fit in. And so now when they get older, they want to still fit in. And so the parents become heartbroken and distressed. All of our lives we've taught them that it's wrong to do this, it's wrong to do that. But now, you know, they're older and look what they've done. They've turned away. They haven't really though, have they? Because, you know, we sent two very strong signals to our children when we brought them up. And they needed to make a decision. Either they fit in, or they become a peculiar person. You've heard the old saying that, you know, actions speak louder than words. And yes, we told him, we told little Johnny the things that that were wrong. But we also showed him it was important to fit in. And so now that's what he's going to do. He's just fitting in with his friends. And we must show our children then from an early age that we cannot conform to the world. And I don't know, you know, you're going to have to figure out the best way to do that. Because you're the parents of your children. And I feel like myself as a grandparent, and it seems like, you know, I keep getting more and more grandchildren all the time. It's important to me that I know and have some good things and be a good example to my little grandchildren. And to have good advice for my children, my own children. You know, every child is different, as I've mentioned, and I think I can say this without any trouble too much. Rusty, I believe, was a little more rebellious than any of the other kids. And I supposedly maybe it's because he's too much like me. Or I'm too much like him, but he was more rebellious. But thanks be to God, he's just turned out to be a son that his mother and father can be very proud of. And Lori and all of our children we're just so pleased with and thankful to God for. And as Titus mentioned, I pray every morning too. I pray before I go to work that God will bless the children and bless me at work. You know, that I'll do the right things and say the right things and act the right way. A lot of times we have failures in our lives, but we want to do the things that are right. And I stand before you today to tell you that as you as young parents and have children at home, you know, just work with them and show them at all costs what it is to stand for what is right. And regardless of the attitudes, you know, that and the friends that they may lose, it's at times we may lose a friend or two. But the most important thing that we can do is gain that eternal home and have the heart that God is pleased with. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6:22 that it's a blessed thing. Luke 6:22, blessed are you when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company or cast you out and shall reproach you when men shall and cast out your name as evil or call your name evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way did their fathers unto the prophets. So you see, you know, maybe we're going to be outcast from some little group or something, but it's not going to last. The things that last are the things that mother and father can show us and teach us. They want the best for you, and they want the best for our children. But a lot of times, maybe we can't afford this or that. Maybe we don't have the money for it. Or maybe if we're willing to send the wrong message, then we're willing to go out on a limb and get it for them anyway. You know, and then we show them that it's just right to fit in. So I admonish you, young people, as you bring up your children, bring them up in such a way that you can show them the way and correct them as they go. You know what I'm saying? You show them the way, but correcting them as they go. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 talks about obeying. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He tells us there to honor your parents. Honor father and mother. In Exodus, part of the, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, it says in Exodus 20, it told about honoring father and mother. That's a good thing for us to think about as young people. We need to honor our fathers and mothers. They love us. They want the best for us. We think about the strange people and the strange men that lived before us and lived a long time ago. Men of antiquity, you know, that means that they're old, a long time ago. You remember the story about Noah and Job, Abraham, Elijah, Daniel that we just learned about this morning, and the Lord Jesus himself. They were different because they did some things that were different. You know, they did what the will of God was. They did what the Father wanted. And as you've seen in Daniel's case, they closed the mouth of the lions. Even though Daniel was thrown in there, he didn't get eaten up because the mouths were closed. And the mean lions weren't able to eat him up. And that evil Satan today that wants to devour us the same way can have his mouth closed when we're reaping and doing the right things and teaching our children and insisting upon them that they do those things that are right, at least certainly while they're within our home and within our grasp that we can show them the right way to go. Teach them that we cannot conform to the world. Hold them responsible for things that you want them to do and reward them as they go on their way. Show them the way to the Lord, teaching them about salvation. The greatest thing that you and I can do is, as the scripture says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and admonishment of the Lord. So, you know, we haven't spoken about salvation directly either today. But as was brought out to us this morning, that you hear and you repent, you confess with your mouth that Christ is the Savior, that He's the Son of God, and through baptism you rise to walk in newness of life. And so one day that perhaps will be your goal as your mother and father bring you up and teach you. And then as you love your little children, you want to show them the way they should go. Not that they should have every little new fad that comes out and bend over backwards to give them that, because when you do, we've learned that we send the wrong message. They are blessings to us. Oh, how they are blessings to us, these little children and your grandchildren. And, you know, if you don't have grandchildren yet, one day you will have, perhaps, Lord willing. And you think, well, my kids have grown up, and I just love little kids. So when our kids grew up, I felt like, you know, I was really going to miss something because I just love little kids. And then here comes all these little grandkids, you know. So I have all kinds of kids, and it's just wonderful. And we just love them to death, but we just have to show them the right way to go. So I leave these thoughts with you. I hope that these things will be something that will stir up your pure minds, and by way of remembrance, to be the parents that we should be. And to be the mentor that we should be, maybe to someone else. And let's say we don't have children, but yet we can be a great mentor to them. We can help them along their way, because if we see that they're going astray, we can go to them and say, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we shouldn't wear jeans this tight. Maybe we should look a little different. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's worth a try. You know, we can save a soul, and that's the greatest thing we can ever do. Today, Keith led a song, number 353, How Shall the Young Secure Their Heart? And I think it's a great song. We've sung that song here several times. But look at the words in that song, 353, How the Young Shall Secure Their Heart. How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word, the choicest rules imparts to keep the conscience clean. 'Tis like the sun, a heavenly light that guides us all the day and through the dangers of the night, a lamp to lead our way, a lamp to lead our way. Thy word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and will support our age. Well, I think that's just a great song, and I think it's something that that as a young person, I hope you can aspire in your life to love God. And perhaps maybe you're too young right now, but one day, you know, the things that we think about and think about what mom and dad say will become important to us. And then will help us make our choices. So these thoughts are before you. If we can help you in any way or pray with you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?